jail. All the key leaders were excommunicated, sent away. They confiscated all the Bibles and the hymn books, and they put out a decree that anyone caught in a church on a Sunday would be thrown into jail. That's what happened at this church. But you know, there were three senior adult ladies that decided, we're going to keep coming to church anyway. And they would show up on Sunday morning and pray together and quote what scripture they could remember and sing what songs they could remember since Bibles and hymn books were taken away. Word got back to the official there, the local official. And you know what he said? What's three little old ladies going to do anyway? Let them go ahead. Well, these three ladies, as they prayed and worshiped together, realized they needed to be heroes. They needed to bless someone. They knew a family down the street that a young man wanted to go to college. The family couldn't afford to send him to the university. They decided that God was blessing them to bless him. And they pinched pennies and they saved their money. And they paid his way to go to the university. When he graduated, he came back. And he showed up one Sunday morning. And he says, I just want to thank you for what you did for me. Is there anything I can do for you? They said, yes, we want a Bible. Well, he was shocked by that. He knew if he got caught with a Bible, he'd be thrown into jail. And he told them that. And they said, well, you asked. That's what we want, is a Bible. So he managed to find a Bible and he brought it to them. But then he made a mistake. He said, is there anything else I can do for you? They said, well, we can't read the Bible. You're educated. You can read it. He said, you know I'm not a Christian. That's okay. Come on Sunday mornings and read the Bible to us. And he did. Then pretty soon he began to read it during the week himself. And the Lord got a hold of his life. He became a Christian. God called him into ministry. And this older pastor was that young man. You see what three ladies did? Because of their faithfulness and their willingness to bless someone else, God led that young man to later become the senior pastor of that church. There's a second group over in the corner, murmuring to themselves. Who does this fellow think he is? It's blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now we know this is the religious leaders, the Sadducees and Pharisees. They have put God in a box. Okay, God can only act a certain way. They had 713 interpretations of the Ten Commandments that the common person could not follow. So they thought they were better than everyone else, that they knew what God wanted and they were righteous before God. I'll just give you one example of those interpretations. On the Sabbath day, if someone's hungry and comes to your window and you offer bread through the window, you can't do that. That's work. If the beggar reaches in the window and grabs the bread, that's harvesting. That's considered work. But if you left the bread on the windowsill, it's okay for them to get a piece of bread. Lots of rules and regulations. They believe that only God could forgive sins. So what does Jesus do to put them in their place? I'm about to tell you. This is the group that's always worried about what's going to happen. They see numbers, nickels, nails. They're worried about the budget, worried about attendance. Instead of being out there trying to reach people for Christ and bless people and be heroes in someone's life, they're more about the institution, which is what the religious leaders were all about. The institution. Here's another way of putting it. And I hope you've never done this before. Someone comes up with a new idea. You know the favorite phrase of the religious leaders? We've never done it that way before. It can only be done a certain way. And the Spirit's moving in new ways. And to reach this culture today, we have to move in new ways and allow the Spirit to breathe. The gospel has never changed. It is the same. But the way we share that gospel has to change. So what does Jesus do about the religious leaders? He said, which is easier to say to the paralytic? Your sins are forgiven, or say, stand up, take your mat, and go home? but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, he said, stand up, take your mat, and go home. And he silenced them. Why? The understanding was this. If you were paralyzed, you had sinned against God. The only way that you would know for sure if someone had been forgiven of their sins is if they were healed. By Jesus healing the man, he shows he has authority to forgive sins. One other way of looking at this for us. When we think of home in the secular world, we think of a place we return to the past, where we grew up, whatever the situation might be. In the spiritual world, in the biblical world, home is wherever God is sending you forward. Think of Abraham. God says, Abraham, I want you to pack up your things and get your family, and I'm taking you somewhere else. He says, Lord, where are you taking me? You'll know when you get there. Abraham goes to Sarah. Sarah, we got to pack up. God says, we're moving. Where are we going? I don't know. God will let us know when we get there. Our mission is always forward, not what we've done in the past, but what is God asking us to do today? And are we willing to do that? The religious leaders were stuck in the past and the way things had always been done. But thankfully, there's one more group here, right? A group that's willing to do whatever to get this paralyzed man to Jesus. They get to the house and the doors are blocked. Now, most of us probably would have said, you know what? Jesus is busy. Has God ever asked you to do something and you said, Lord, I'm busy right now. I'll get to that. They were willing to go up on the roof, tear a hole in this roof to lower the paralyzed man. Now, keep in mind, they will have to pay for that roof. Not only are they using their time and their energy, but their money, whatever it takes to get this person to Jesus. And what is their reward? Verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, he turned to the paralyzed man and said, your sins are forgiven. It was not the paralyzed man's faith, it was their faith that led to not only his forgiveness, but his healing. Do you realize the power of faith that you have? We each have that ability to be heroes. Are we willing to do whatever it takes? There's a church in Florida, a Flamingo Church, I believe is the name of it. Very fast-growing church. And there's been books written about it. And they do conferences all the time. And pastors and key leaders come to that conference to find out more. And you'll find out the pastor will confess. He moved too fast. He hurt some feelings along the way. They're trying to reach a younger generation. And in this area where they were, the best way to do that is to have a band. All right? So, anyway. One of the ladies that's a member of that church is an older lady, has white hair, and she's greeting folks. And she shared her testimony in the middle of that conference. And she got up and introduced herself and said, I'm part of the Cotton Ball Club. Now, we're, you know, thinking white hair, thinking cotton ball. She says, I hate the music here. When the music starts, the cotton ball goes in the ears. When the music stops, I take the cotton ball out because I want to hear the sermon. When they start the music again, I put the cotton ball back in. She says, whatever it takes to get someone to Christ, I'm willing to do. Now, I will tell you, music is not the answer by itself. Really, the biggest answer is for you and I to be out there in this community and in your workplace and in your school, setting the example for others, being a blessing in their lives, being a hero in their lives. Frederick Buechner says faith is more of a verb than a noun, more of a process than a destination. Faith is not just believing in Jesus. Faith requires us to follow Jesus. In Ireland, there is an inner city church, Baptist church. Most of the apartment complexes and townhouses and different things across the street from the church had gone because the young folks moved out into the suburbs. They were down to about 40 or 50 senior adults. In place of those townhouses and restaurants, now there are nightclubs and bars. So on Friday and Saturday night, all the young folks, hundreds of them, come back downtown. But when they built these nightclubs and bars, they didn't put in enough restrooms. And on Friday and Saturday night, instead of waiting in line for hours to go to the restroom, some just decided to walk across the street and relieve themselves on the front lawn of the Baptist church. Deacon Chair got a committee together and said, "We got to clean this up." So every Sunday morning they would come early to clean. Finally, the deacons met and decided they're going to build a wall around their church to keep those young adults off their lawn. They brought it to business meeting, and after 45 minutes explaining why we have to do this, an older gentleman in the back raised his hand, said, "Excuse me, instead of building a wall, wouldn't it make more sense for us to open up our church and let them use our restrooms?" Deacon's like, "Who's going to be here at 2 in the morning?" He said, "Well, I don't sleep well. I'll volunteer." Several more hands shot up. "I'll volunteer." And they began to open up their church on Friday and Saturday nights until 3 in the morning. Why 3 in the morning? That's when everything closes. But not just to use the restroom, they began to get to know these young adults, to try to be a blessing in their lives. You know what happens now on Saturday mornings at 3 a.m.? There's a worship service where 300 to 400 young adults come. Folks, we've got to open our eyes. We've got to be heroes. It's eternal consequences we're talking about. I'm going to ask you for just a moment to bow your head. And I want you to imagine what heaven is going to be like when we get there. Are you picturing some of those folks in your family? Perhaps it's already there that you'll get to see again. Persons that you can thank for the ways that they have encouraged you. But I want you to look into the future. Are there going to be people waiting to see you to say thank you for what you have done in their lives? Imagine with me as I share through song.
Streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, and someone called your name. We turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, "Friend, you may not know me now." Then he said, "But wait, used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to Lord, for I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave." And then another man stood before you, said, "Remember the time a missionary came to your church? His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today.
Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave.
One by one they came, far as the eyes could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord, for I am a life that was changed.
Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord.
Loving God, I pray in this moment that if there is someone here who's not invited you into their lives, they've not experienced not only your forgiveness, but the purpose and the abundant life that you have for them, Lord, I pray today they'll have courage to say, Lord, I'm ready. I know I've made mistakes. I want Jesus to come into my life to forgive me and to be my Savior and my Lord. Lord, for many of us, we made that decision a long time ago, but if we're honest, there are days we've just believed and we've not followed. Forgive us. Lord, may we renew our commitment to follow you each and every day, to see with your eyes the possibilities of being a hero in someone else's life so that they may come to know you. And it's in the name of Christ I pray. Amen. So we have our time of response. I do something a little different. I didn't ask Greg about this ahead of time. I'll ask for forgiveness later. Here's what I ask, basically. If there is something going on that you just need to pray about, perhaps in your life, or maybe you're worried about someone else, that side of the altar is for prayer. I'm not going to bother you. If the Lord's asking you to go pray and you need to pray, pray. If there's a public decision you'd like to make, I'll be down front on this side. If you want to give your life to Christ, or maybe there's someone you want me to pray with you about, whatever it might be, let's stand together and let's sing 450, I Need Thee Every Hour.
Wow.